Welcome to Generations, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director of Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, and the Generations radio program is dedicated to retrieving truth and relationships back to a lost and lonely world. Modern man is lost and lonely. He's given up the truth and human relationships, and he's wandering as a vagabond in the 21st century postmodern world. When we talk about relationships, we're talking about the two institutions God instituted from the very beginning, the family and the church. These make up human social relationships, but the family has disintegrated. It's just a shell of what it once was, and even that has collapsed in most households today. We talk about that all the time on this program. The American family is the weakest in the Western world, according to a Rutgers University study, and the nuclear family, as of last year, now makes up only 49% of households in the modern world. 37% of children born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960, and half of marriages ending in divorce. Where there is still some semblance of family life, however, there's only a thin shell left there. All right, so the family is disintegrating, almost disintegrated in the postmodern world, but what about the other institution? What about the church? We're going to deal with that issue on this program today. The church has more or less died in Europe. Church attendance is in the single digits there, and church buildings serve well as mosques. But in America, the jury is still out. Will the Christian church in America die? Christian leaders are desperately trying to salvage the situation. The average American churchgoer gives 2% of his income to the church, a ratio even lower than what was given during the Great Depression. At these ratios, it's impossible for a church to function with less than 300 to 400 people attending. This is one reason why churches are increasingly pressed to grow into the megachurch. But as the church grows, it becomes almost impossible for one or two pastors to carefully shepherd that many people. The elder-pastor-to-congregant ratio becomes unmanageable. Inevitably, this presses the pastors to water down the message. Because relational one-on-one shepherding is practically impossible, and this only perpetuates the 2% commitment. And so, we've got this catch-22 on our hands. The megachurch trend in this country indicates a last-ditch effort by some in the church to salvage something for the church in the 21st century. Employing the crowd-attracts-a-crowd philosophy, the megachurch relies on building size and sheer institutional force to retain its momentum. The only problem with the megachurch, however, is that it limits the possibility of developing close relationships. It makes accountability impossible by retaining an inherent anonymity. It is forced to water down the message to the least common denominator in order to process the masses through the system. It's inherently inflexible, and it's programming to the core. Even its small groups will speak to narrowly defined common interests and therefore short-term interests. Inevitably, these short-term relationships will fade quickly once the shallow common denominator that first brought the small group together becomes obsolete. This, my friends, is the demise of relationships in the 21st century. In this special edition of Generations Radio, we will present several different perspectives on the reformation of the church in the 21st century. Is the church ready for reform? You know, since 1960, Christian parachurch ministries have worked hard to bring the faith into education, into family, into science and politics, but the church didn't seem to fit into the agenda. The church seemed to be irrelevant, an appendage in these reform efforts. While seminaries were training pastors in youth ministry and Christian education theory, homeschool organizations were equipping millions of parents to actually obey passages like Deuteronomy 6:7 and Ephesians 6:4. While seminaries were busy training pastors in the day, age, and gap theories, huge creation ministries taught the laity to interpret rock layers by the Word of God instead of interpreting the Word of God by rock layers. James Dobson and Focus on the Family were out there preaching passionately to a nation on that radio program on public policy social sins like abortion and homosexuality. At the same time, you have Protestant, evangelical, reformed, or even Catholic churches filling pews with politicians from both pro-life and pro-abortion positions. The church was irrelevant. Why is the church, as a whole, so irrelevant to modern life and culture? Some say the church should be entirely abandoned. Some say the church lacks relationships. Some say the church lacks worldview. Some say the church lacks leadership. Some say the church lacks good preaching. Some say the church worship is too low, and some say it's too high. Some say the home churches are the answer, and some say that mega churches are the answer. And by the way, these are the two fastest growing trends in church today, which means that the church, as we have known it for 500 years, is about to disappear. Be assured, friends, be very sure of this. There is something very wrong with the church in this country, and unless something is done about it now, we will follow the tracks of Europe. Period. Will the church play a part in the reformation of the Christian faith in the 21st century? That's the question we're going to look at today. In a moment, several different perspectives from different men who have committed their lives to bringing fundamental reformation to the church in the 21st century. That's next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, Generations with Kevin Swanson and Christian Home Educators of Colorado present the 2007 Family Conference. Join thousands of parents and teens at this family conference featuring hundreds of workshops on homeschooling in the family. And for the very first time, the 2007 conference will host an unprecedented lineup of the nation's best worldview speakers for an all-day worldview super conference, including Dr. David Noble from Summit Ministries and Kevin Swanson with Generations Radio. Equip your family on the defining worldview issue of our day with the renowned Australian creationist Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Conference 2007 is coming up in Denver on June 14th through the 16th. For more information, go to chec.org or call 1-877-842-CHECK today. Make a lasting investment in your family's relationships, worldview, and educational vision. Register for the Conference 2007 now at chec.org.
Welcome back to the Generations program, folks. Before we get to the interviews on the reformation of the church in the 21st century, let me clarify what we mean by a reformation agenda. A reformation agenda must consist of two elements. Number one, fundamental principles, and number two, a sufficient incarnation of those principles. The principles, you see, have to be fundamental enough, and the incarnation of the principles must be sufficient enough to make a substantial change that will last for generations. There should be no question where we come from on this program. If you listen to the program, for the last 4 years, we have laid out our Reformation agenda. We're bringing truth and relationships back to a lost and lonely world. We're up against a man-centered humanism that has utterly lost the concept of God and His truth. You see, man has given up on absolutes because he gave up on the possibility of a God who could speak with absolute truth. We want to revive a God-centered worldview in the modern world, a God-centered epistemology, metaphysics, and ethics, where God is the source of man's reality by creation and by providence. God is the source of man's truth. Ultimately, we go to God and His Word for His truth, and God is the source of man's ethics. We want God to be sovereign over every aspect of man's reality. Where God has a right to tell you what to do and what to believe. It's just that simple. But we also want to bring relationships back to a world that is, for the most part, lost the concept of relationships and family life. We're tired of the anonymity of the city on this program. The life of the vagabond where man is alone in the crowd. Where he's carefully educated in a slotted, programmed world void of any long-term, meaningful relationships in family and church. That's our agenda in simple form. Worldview and relationships to a lost and lonely world. Now, how that gets incarnated into our family life, our church life, our preaching, our entertainment, our economics, our education, the training of our pastors, and so on, that's an even bigger challenge. The incarnation of the ideas are as important as the fundamental principles themselves. And we pray for God's mercy as we attempt to make meaningful change in our families and churches, that future generations may be impacted by this 21st century reformation. Now, when you stick a mic in somebody's face and you ask them to tell you what needs to change about the church and about the world in the 21st century, good men will talk about truth or relationships or even both. Some want relationships without much to say about truth, and some want truth without much to say about relationships. Let's
talk about Reformation, the Reformation agenda in the 21st century, and keep an eye on truth and relationships as we hear these interviews with these reforming men. Our first interview will be with Dr. Gary Cass. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Gary Cass. He's the executive director of Center for Reclaiming America and also has served for 20 years as a pastor down in San Diego. And the Center for Reclaiming America and Coral Ridge Ministries have had a vision for Reformation revival across this nation for many years, and that's why we have him on the line. Dr. Gary Cass, welcome to Generations.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and God bless all of your listeners.
Gary, you know, we are grappling with the effective decline of Christianity in the West. Education's been secularized. The family is under serious attack. Abortion was legalized in 1973. Homosexuality is on the rise. You know the problems. And yet we come back to the issue of the church again and again. Where is the salt, yeast, and light, Gary?
Well, they're trying to figure out what it means to be the church in a culture that we've unfortunately inherited largely because previous generations of Christians retreated from the culture. And so we're in this really awkward kind of place where there's a significant movement in the church to try to re-engage, but there's been a lot of decline and we've lost a lot of ground, especially on the issues that you just mentioned. So it's an exciting time, a fascinating time, an important time for the church to reconceive, perhaps, what it is to be salt and light in a secular context.
Let's look at the root of this, Gary. You talk about the church retreating. Why? Why would the retreat?
Oh, well, we could go back, depending on what you want to lay the blame for this. Is it bad theology? I think yes, in some regards. I think there was kind of a retreat into the ivory towers of pietism, which was sometimes, I think, predicated upon a bad view of history and eschatology, as well as a very, what I'd call, reductionistic approach to what the gospel is. Is the gospel only about individual redemption, or is it about redeeming souls and families and churches and communities and nations? And how you answer that question will decide largely where you're going to put your energies. Of course, everyone believes, that I know of, that you have to redeem individuals. But shouldn't that redemption then have coextensive sort of reach into these other important spheres of life? And that's what the church is wrestling with.
You remember the cliche, Gary, that came out, oh, it had to be at least 100 years ago, you can't polish brass on a sinking ship.
Right.
And people were saying that back in the early part of the 1900s and all the way into the 1970s and 1980s when we realized that maybe we ought to be polishing some brass here.
Well, maybe the ship isn't going down like everybody thinks it's going down in the way that it's going down. If you believe that the end is so near that whatever you do is effectively not going to have any impact, then, yeah, why get involved? Why do the hard work of and the intellectual heavy lifting and all of the things it takes in order to be relevant in a culture if in your own mind and heart you've said it's worthless anyway and it's doomed to failure?
Gary, how do we change the church? We talk about its problems at this point. How do we begin to bring this ship around and get them to understand we've got some work to do here?
Well, yeah, and I'm very excited about what we're endeavoring to do here at the Center for Reclaiming America, because we realize it's a very simple equation. The culture is declining. The only hope of that ever being reversed is in the church, and the only hope that the church has is that its leadership is thoroughly equipped in order to lead the church into this most important part of the church's mission. We're excited. We're going to be rolling out some things that we hope will be able to equip pastors. Candidly, I went to a very good seminary, very fine seminary, but frankly, they didn't tell me much about this. In fact, they would probably be embarrassed that I'm doing what I'm doing right now because, you know, this the only thing that really matters is, you know, the form and structure of your worship service and how many Bible verses you can know in your prayer life. And outside of that, it's, you know, how you impact the larger culture. That was really not on the horizon. So there's some important things that we need to do. We need to have a Christian manifesto attitude like Francis Schaeffer was talking about in the 70s and 80s in the face of all this retreat of the church and all this pessimism about the future, rather than believing that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to save souls and to redeem communities and nations. And we just need to get out our history books and read a little bit, and we might be surprised to see how God is pleased to accompany the gospel with such life-transforming power.
Gary, you've been in this battle now for quite some time, looking at reclaiming America, as you say in the title of your organization, or reforming America. Are we making progress? Do you have a feel for what's going on with the churches right now? Are pastors beginning to make a turnaround?
I'll tell you what's going to get their attention are the things that are on the horizon right now. See, this was the cliche I also heard. Brother, you know, you can go over there and deal with all that stuff, but, you know, all we're going to do here is preach the Word of God. And what they don't realize, if we don't win in the culture, these very liberties to preach the Word of God are going to be taken away from us, and you just got to go a few hundred miles north of you to find out in Canada if that's effectively what's happened to the church. There's parts of the Bible they're not allowed to really get into anymore.
Well, I think you just said it. They want to preach the Word of God, but they don't want to preach about liberty or the issues that are really contained in the Word of God.
Absolutely. And so, you know, the politically correct forces that want to be able to have basically their sexual licentiousness and don't want to, and they want not only the church to tolerate it, they want the church to shut up about it and to effectively, by their silence, then consent to it. And so where is the outrage? Well, there's things being deliberated in the United States Congress, even in the next few weeks, about hate crimes that will have a very chilling effect on First Amendment liberties if we don't stand up and unite. But a lot of pastors, they don't want to hear about that. They got their head in the sand. It won't happen here. Well, it's happening all around the world in Western cultures. So we need to be aware the luxury of hiding behind the walls of the church is being taken away from us unless you're willing to be muzzled in your ministry and allow the state to tell you what law of what part of the Bible and what sort of sins and what sort of commandments you're allowed to preach and which ones you're not allowed to preach.
Gary, how full-orbed is the agenda? You talk about the political agenda. I assume it's not merely or mainly political. It has to do with how we educate our children, how we do our economics, how we do our culture, how we do our music. Are you looking at a full-orbed view here of the way we live our lives? Is that the agenda?
Well, and that's the whole struggle. The church used to believe that all of life was to be lived to the glory of God, not just a compartmentalized spiritual part of your life, but the whole of life. So all of literature and art and entertainment and all of the economic side of life, all of these things were to be regulated and controlled by the Word of God. And now when you say, well, what does the Bible have to say about economics, people kind of shake their head. Well, God doesn't care about economics. Well, it's very interesting. He seems to spend quite a bit of time in scriptures talking about money and our relationship to it. But nobody wants to touch these truths. And so by default, we end up buying in to the cultural norms. And because there's no cogent, rational, biblical side of things, all of these, these parts of the culture are going in directions that are very damaging. So where are the men of God? Where are the prophets? Where are the men who studied the Word of God and need to be proclaiming the truth? We need more of them. That's why I'm very glad to have come to work for Dr. Kennedy, because of all the men in America that I respected, he was probably the most outspoken, and therefore it was easy to come and work for him. the large majority of Christian pulpits will not touch any of these issues because they have with them the potentiality of controversy. And God knows that Jesus was not controversial. Everybody loved everything he said. And, you know, I'm being sarcastic. So somehow we've gotten this idea that the church is just supposed to be this nice little safe little place where you can come and kind of do some religious stuff and go home. But every time you come into an encounter with the Word of God, it's a dangerous thing. It's alive. It's a two-edged sword. It searches our heart. It exposes our needs. And, yeah, that's hard for some people. They don't want that kind of searching ministry. They just want a little platitude, a pat on the head, a little inspiration, and go home. And so where are the men of God? I know they're out there. And that's what we need, is for God to raise up the next generation of men of God who are unafraid of the congregation and fear God more than men.
Gary, one last question. I assume you see some hope there in the horizon. God is doing something. I mean, I look at what has happened over the last 25 years or so, and I really think there's a rising remnant. Call it a reformation. There's something happening. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, one of the good things of working with Dr. Kennedy is he's got a few decades on me as far as perspective, and that's very helpful. He made an interesting comment once. He said when he graduated from seminary, and that would have been in the 60s, that the largest churches with the most influential pulpits were, to a man, liberal, and the messages were just so far away from Scripture. Now I'd like to challenge you. Can you name one prominent, overtly liberal pulpit today?
Well,
now, there's some evangelicals that don't touch all the controversies, and they don't have as much courage as I'd like them to have, but at least they preach, you know, salvation by grace through faith in Christ. And but as far as having a major liberal pulpit in America, I can't really think of one, and you may be able to. But I think that that's a large sea change that's happened gradually and over, you know, decades that we may not be privy to, that would reinforce your perception that, yes, I think we are poised for really good things ahead of us if the Lord is gracious to send a revival. There are some men, there are prominent ministers like Dr. Kennedy who are speaking out, and people appreciate it. So I have every reason to believe that God will show mercy and grace to America. If you read our history, he's done it time and time again, and it's the next generation. I believe if history is our guide, it will be the next generation where this revival will come from. And I'm just praying fervently that we can see it with our own eyes and serve it and nurture it and help it.
Thank you, Dr. Gary Kass from the Center for Reclaiming America. Now, folks, let's sum up what Dr. Gary Kass gives us on this first interview. He said the church retracted from the culture in the last century, partially due to a bad theology and a bad view of history and eschatology. It was a retreat into pietism, which reduced the faith to just some kind of compartmentalized spiritualism. It was a watered-down gospel that held that God doesn't redeem cultures and families, only individuals. Gary Kass finds a problem with the seminaries, where all they study is the form and structure of worship, but nothing about salvaging the culture. What these seminaries really need to do is start preaching the Word of God as it impacts economies, politics, and culture. Not much was said about the family, about education, about relationships. He seems impressed with the conservative preachers capturing the big churches over the last several decades. And there is no doubt what Gary Kass from the Center for Reclaiming America is calling for, a return to preaching truth in the pulpits of the land. You can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. We're bringing truth and relationships back to a lost and lonely world. Please join us again next time for another perspective on Reformation in the Church in 21st century America as we lay down a vision for the next generation.